And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Mantra Meditation Hour on CITR 101.9 FM with your congenial host, Raghunath.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Raghunath. I'll be here for the next hour, actually a little longer today, about an hour and a half, for an extended edition of Mantra Radio. This is going to be the second part of the special on the Tadasana Festival, which happened in Santa Monica a couple of weeks ago. First track, we're going to kick things off with DJ Drez from a CD which is just wonderful, called Jata Beat on Black Swan Records. The track I'm going to play is called Wind Talker, and it's featuring the Kirtaneers and also Dominic Dean Bro on, I think, on saxophone. If you'd like to give us a call, you can do so, 604-822-2487. Here's DJ Drez. You're listening to Mantra on CITR Radio in Vancouver.
Thank you. Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no? Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, The Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at CITR.ca.
Okay, we're back. So the first track we played was DJ Drez from Jata Beat and entitled Wind Talker, featuring the Kirtaneers and Dominic D'Imbro on saxophone. The rest of the show is going to be a sort of mixture of interviews from the Tadasana Festival, which happened in LA a couple of weeks ago, mixed in with some songs by the various artists involved in the festival, musicians, kirtan leaders, some interviews from a couple of yogis also. I can give you a kind of a rundown of what to expect. First off, we're going to be hearing from Donna DeLauri, and then after that, I think actually we may go step by step. I'll introduce it piece by piece. It's going to be a lot of bouncing around. I'll try and guide you as best as I can. So Donna DeLauri, she has been involved in so many different things for so many years. She was, for 10 years or more, actually, I think almost 20 years, she was involved in, she was a backup singer for Madonna on every single tour that she did during that period. And then at the same time, releasing her own solo CDs since around 1993. The most recent, which is entitled Sanctuary. And then earlier in the 2000s, The Lover and the Beloved, In the Glow, Bliss, various albums. When I was in LA, I had an opportunity to talk with her just a little bit about the festival and what she's up to now. After the interviews, you're going to hear a track which is from a remix CD with various people remixing. This remix was done by Eastern Sun, the track Jaimar, which is, Mar is a term commonly used to address the feminine divine in a similar way that the term Devi is used. A little bit of a write-up here I can read from. Devi is quintessentially the core form of every Hindu goddess. As the female manifestation of the Supreme Lord, she is also called Prakriti, as she balances out the male aspect of the divine addressed Purusha. Devi is the supreme being in the Shaktism tradition of Hinduism, while in the Samatha tradition, she is one of the five primary forms of God. In other Hindu traditions of Shaivism and Vaishnavism, Devi embodies the active energy and power of male deities or Purushas, such as Vishnu in Vaishnavism or Shiva in Shaivism. Vishnu's Shakti counterpart is called Lakshmi, with Parvati being the female Shakti of Shiva. And there's various other names. Such as Sita, Radha, depending on the tradition that one is following. So here's a few words from Donna DeLauri.
I made a record called Bliss that I wasn't intending. I didn't know, you know. It was like more of a kind of devotional pop record, singer-songwriter record. And after that, a company came to me and said, "Will you do a record of just the mantras?" So I said, "Well, I'll try." And it just flowed effortlessly. So I knew this was a path for me. And it was beautiful because I love... Mantra means to free your mind. And I loved... It was freeing for me to sing these pieces and not be in my story and not be talking about a relationship, something which I can get so deep about, you know, but just something more transcendent. And I was singing Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya, and I just remember this day when I started singing, "Your love is like no other love." I just felt like reaching my arms out to the universe, and it was like I needed to be a voice to sing these songs and these mantras, and I love Sanskrit. I've always loved Sanskrit, and I love singing in different languages, different syllables and vibrations. I'll learn a mantra first by just the sound, hearing the sound and loving the sound, and then I'll learn the meaning of it. Connect, but it's union. It's just connecting with yourself, but it's not just with yourself. It's with the community, and to be in a room of like-minded people that are on this path, you know, or they just maybe walked in. It's their first yoga class ever. Right when you walk in the room, there's such an intention that you just instantly. You haven't even done a stretch yet. You haven't even started your breathing, and you instantly feel this peace. I do. So the music is playing. The music is such a tool for healing and for connecting. So to put these two together, it's brilliant and it's amazing. And it's you could say, well, it's not the traditional way that, you know, people were doing yoga back, but this is what we need. We've evolved to this place. This is it's like saving grace for us, you know, for our the speed at which we go in our society and what we're trying to achieve every day, and how we've gotten so far away from nature, from our source, to be able to just walk in to a class or festival and connect with each other and with source is so deep. And it's not about religion. And that's what I love about it. Whatever names you're chanting, whatever, it's all pointing to the same reference. It's all the same point. It's the divine. And that to me is like Krishnadas says, and Jayushal is like, praise God. It all means praise God. So that's what it means. So to just say praise God. And it's so important. And to do that together. Satnam. You know, all the beautiful... I love the way these teachers all have their own interpretation of breaking it down for everyone. And that's what I really was enjoying today. Like, the way that this teacher could just reach people and talk to them.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
That was Donna DeLauri with JMR, remixed by Easton Sun from her remix release. She did a really amazing show. I think it was the first evening of the festival in Santa Monica. She has a really amazing ability to project a lot of emotion through her voice. Something else I came across in regards to the Divine Mother, or the Feminine Divine, something that I wasn't so familiar with, from Christian tradition. A little blurb in regards to Sophia. The Sophia can be described as the wisdom of God, and at times as a pure virgin spirit which emanates from God. Sophia is seen as being expressed in all creation and the natural world, as well as, for some of the Christian mystics mentioned above, integral to the spiritual well-being of humankind, the church, and the cosmos. The Virgin is seen as outside creation, but compassionately interceding on behalf of humanity to alleviate its suffering by illuminating true spiritual seekers with wisdom and the love of God. Later we're going to be hearing some interviews with DJ Chevy Savar, and also Duke Mushroom. Both of them touched on the same thing in terms of the feminine divine. Whereas you have Deva, you also have Devi. And this Devi is an embodiment of compassion, forgiveness, things which are attributed to as being feminine qualities, the divine aspect or the origin of these energies. Next we're going to hear some words from Julian Walker. He's a yoga teacher residing in LA. And I had the opportunity to do one of his classes, which consisted of some asana, some stretches, some postures, moving into ecstatic dance. And we had, I forget who was actually singing, but we had some really beautiful kirtan. I think it was Sita Devi, who herself has an amazing voice. I just heard a track actually by the Dub Kirtan All Stars, which she's also featured on. So Julian Walker, here's a little blurb here. He weaves sacred poetry, world music, mythology, and transformational themes into his deep stretch and flow yoga classes, and is well known for his Funky Friday class that includes ecstatic dance. Julian is the creator of Open Sky Bodywork and maintains a busy private practice out of his home office. He is the author of an 8-CD audio program called Radical Transformation, A Map to Mind-Body Ecstasy, which is a modern interpretation of the chakra system, and is also currently hard at work on publishing a book about the rich relationships between brain science, spiritual practice, and embodied psychology. One thing I noticed from being at this festival was there's such a wide mixture of people there doing different kinds of styles of teaching, but such a commonality between everything that was being done. And a lot of common intentions in terms of trying to share whatever gifts people have received, whatever path that they're on, and trying to give that to people in a genuine attempt to raise consciousness, to increase connectivity between people. And so it's just a very powerful mood that was part of this festival that I experienced anyway. And also acceptance of the position of other people, where they're coming from, and what part of the path that they're on. And these are important things, and these are qualities of the feminine divine. These are some of those qualities: acceptance, compassion. We're going to hear a few words from Julian Walker, just about, he's going to talk about asana and bhakti, or devotion. He's going to talk about the body, or perceiving the body as a temple for the soul, and some other things too. And after that, we're going to go into a track by Wa from her release Shavasana 2, entitled Heart Sutra. And we're going to hear a little bit of that. There'll be more from Wa coming up later on. We're going to play just a little 3-minute live clip from the first day of Tadasana of her performing with Masood Ali Khan and others. So here's Julian Walker with a few words to offer.
Well, I think the festival is very much a reflection of this eclectic East meets West kind of movement that's happening in yoga in America right now, at least especially in the really popular forms that would support a festival like this. So I think the emphasis in a way is always asana, because that's what most people relate to the quickest and the easiest. But I think then you find people like me and some other teachers really like to bring in more of a contemplative, mindful kind of quality to it. And you know, there is, like today, we danced and we chant a little, not too much, but we did, you know, we had Sita up there singing some beautiful mantras. So I think it's a reflection of this desire to kind of bring all the pieces together. And sometimes with that, you lose some of the depth. Mm. But I think it's a good doorway in for people. And personally, I feel like it's good to integrate the different pieces. Having a physical practice is wonderful for your health and for, you know, working with your energy and working with your psyche. Having a devotional practice works a different aspect of your being.
Yeah.
Bringing the two together is beautiful.
So you were quoting, you quoted some nice poetry by Rumi, and that was really very sweet. I was really connecting with that.
I'm glad you liked it, Raghunath. Yeah. Yeah, I love using poets that really run the gamut. From ancient Sufi poets like Rumi and Hafiz to ancient Indian poets like Kabir, people like Mirabai and Lala. Generally, the poets I use are mystic poets who are pointing out the possibility of an awakening in the moment to something that's right here. And they're often a little irreverent and a little, they poke fun a little at more conventional kind of stuffy spirituality, and they're inviting a kind of wakefulness and a self-embrace that I find really beautiful.
That one can become enlightened even within this body. And I kind of picked up something as you were saying about that, and that, like, sort of, you know, we're here, we have this body as a gift.
Yeah.
And you quoted a poet, some American poetry, I forget who it was, about...
Yeah, Walt Whitman.
Appreciating the body,
yeah.
Material energy and
yes,
as so
exactly. Well, with this festival happening over Earth Day, when they asked us to submit our names and our class descriptions for the class we were going to teach, I thought that for this class it would be embracing the body, embracing the earth, and so this idea of really being in direct relationship to the earth as sacred, and to our bodies as sacred. And that for me is very powerful and very immediate, you know?
Everybody can appreciate it, I think.
Yeah, and it's an invitation to really be here. I think there's been a yearning for practice, for deeper connection to ourselves, to the cosmos, to one another, that has just been growing and growing and growing in the West and becoming more fully expressed. And I think even more than that, it's becoming integrated in a very pragmatic, everyday way for, you know, a certain percentage of the population.
Yeah.
Where it's just part of what you do.
It's not far out anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Kiyomi Takahashi, originally from Japan, I had an opportunity to take one of her classes, which was, she was teaching Kundalini yoga combined with some kirtan, some you could say mantra yoga and devotional aspects. Very interesting class. She writes a little blurb on her website. She says, "One day, out of curiosity, I decided to take my first yoga class at a gym in Los Angeles. After that, I knew something had shifted in me forever. The first class was brutal. I felt so stiff and weak. Growing up as an athlete in Japan, I excelled as a runner. As an adult, I've run half and full marathons and taken up surfing. Because of this experience, I believed I was strong, and as an outsider looking in, yoga seemed so easy. To my surprise, I felt challenged and exhausted. Best of all, I felt a sense of peace after my first shavasana. I knew I had to go back and do it again. It didn't take long for me to notice that yoga offered something beyond the physical level. My curiosity led me to continue a regular practice at the gym and eventually at yoga studios." And then she continues a little bit. Here's some words from her in regards to raising consciousness oneself and of the planet. Again, some words about the body being a vehicle for the soul or a temple. And then she ends with a quote by Gandhi talking about becoming the change that you want to see. And we're going to follow that with some nice kirtan by Aikana, who are also performing at the festival. The track entitled Japman Satnam.
Yes, that's a big part of Kundalini Yoga. The bhakti is the devotion. Yeah, it's just a big part of chanting. It's also a huge part of Kundalini Yoga. That's what I love about Kundalini Yoga too.
So what was that actually attracted you to
Kundalini Yoga?
In the beginning? What was your journey coming to
Kundalini Yoga? I started with the Hatha Yoga Vinyasa Flow, just for the more for the fitness exercise purpose, and then I started finding out more of the spiritual aspect of yoga, and I got completely hooked. And I wanted to know more about this energetic journey, what's happening inside of us. And I wanted to know the science behind what's happening when I chant, when I do this pose, when I breathe in a certain way. And the Kundalini Yoga is really well scientifically just proving, you know, each mantra, the mudra, and just a beautiful purpose of why we're doing our yoga, to uplift and elevate yourself and others, becoming a leader, as a teacher. And I felt like I found the purpose of why I'm doing yoga. I felt like I found the purpose of why I'm teaching yoga. Not just I'm teaching physical fitness yoga. I just want to just spread this vibration that every one of us become a leader to uplift and elevate everyone surrounding us. And your body is the, you know, your vehicle, that your soul experience, all the human being experience in this vehicle. This is a human body and it's a temple. And this is where you want to keep it as pure as you can. And all the asana practice really helps you to purify the energy of your vehicle, your temple. So I think it's Kundalini Yoga is a great combination of that, the physical aspect of yoga, and also the chanting, the bhakti, the meditation. You know, it's just, I love the kind of balance of it. And of course, the Gandhi said, just be the change you want to see in the world. Not just to be, you know, forcing people to change. You just be the example. And with that energy, people will change just by being with you. I believe that. So you be the change, you know, one person after another.
Sada Satnam, Japamana Satnam, Sada Satnam, Japamana Satnam. Satanam, Japamana Satanam, Sada 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 Satanam, Sada Satanam, 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 Japamana Satanam, Sada Satanam, Sada Satanam.
So that was Aikana with Japman Satnam. So you could hear in the song the words may my mind, I don't know exactly, I can't remember exactly what it is, but may my mind purely chant the name. Satnam is, and Sat means eternal, it also means truth or true. And the Nam is name, but specifically referring to these divine names which are given in mantras, that are chanted in mantras. The idea is when the heart is fully open, then one can purely chant. And to fully open the heart, one can chant. Or perform other activities. This is actually the reason, scripturally, for in terms of the Vedic literature, and what the purpose of yoga or asana is for. It's the stages leading up to the opening of the heart, so that one's consciousness can purely connect with its source. That was from a release entitled Mantra Mala by again Aikana. It's a little blurb on here, a description, a self-description. Mantra. These mantras are scientific tools for these changing times. They are a point of focus to quiet the busy thoughts in our mind. Repetition of these mantras creates an oasis for us to discover who we really are. We can overcome fear of the unknown and thrive during these transitional times by using mantra. Some words from the website of Aikana. I'm going to play a couple of public service announcements, and then we'll be back to carry on with more interviews and music from the Tadasana Festival.
The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
This May in Discorder, sit down for a chat with local thrash punk sensations New Sensei. Get well acquainted with Peace before their new album drops. Find out if Weed the Band is better than The Substance. And discover the response from members of Brestronaut on the controversy surrounding bands and crowdsource funding. As always in Discorder, get your healthy dose of Venue News, Filmstrip, take a look at our beautiful calendar, browse the always-changing CITR program guide, tech up bits of Mark DeLong's art project on your bedroom walls, take in some reviews of music both recorded and live, and all the other goodies you know and love. Pick up your beautiful and free copy of Discorder at any Friends of CITR business, or if you've gone paperless, don't forget to check out Discorder at discorder.ca. Discorder, that magazine from CITR, supporting local music for over 25 years.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Next, we're going to hear from DJ Chebby Sava. Originally from Algeria, he started his career DJing in the mid-60s, and then soon after moved to the United States. In the 80s, he settled in San Francisco and started using the name Chebby Sava, which roughly translates to Younger the Morning. And then since 1999, he's released several CD is entitled, for example, Sri Durga, Mahamaya, Krishna Leela, Ala Kahena, and the most recent CD, Devotion. We had an opportunity to catch up with Shab at backstage just before his show on the second evening of the Tadasana Festival. Just I should mention that we would usually be closing the show in a few minutes' time, but we're doing a special extended version. We're going to go an extra half an hour until 4:30 just to wrap up our coverage of the Tadasana Festival. So here's some words from Shab. We'll be, and then after that, we're going to hear actually a track from the 2008 released Devotion entitled Koi Bole Ram Ram. For a festival like this, how do you sit? Like, how do you approach that, musically speaking?
Well, first of all, it's a big community effort from the organizers, to have that quality of bringing, you know, the yoga community, but not just the yoga community. So to me, that's an important step for Los Angeles. And musically, well, I mean, you know, the highest yoga, according to scriptures, is Nanda Brahma, which is the music of the spheres. So the highest yoga is the yoga of music, according to scriptures. So that's why we try, you know, to, in Indian classical music, which, you know, the ragas and the raginis come from Shiva and Lord Shiva and Parvati. So we have that kind of understanding. And so when you hear classical music, it's always trying to hit the sa, you know, the note sa. And when you hit that note, not just you, but the listeners, they also hit that note. So that's what we try to do, is to hit that note. Everyone goes, wow. You know? Yeah, I think there might be a little bit of Satya Yuga coming in, you know. It won't last,
sure.
But, you know, because, as you know, nothing lasts, everything has to go eventually. But, yeah, it's definitely, actually, yesterday it dawned on me because I was spinning and I look at the audience and it was like 99% women, you know, and point something men. And I thought, this is interesting that all this Shakti, you know, power and energy, what is that going to do eventually? Because wherever you go, it's always 99% of women. And you know, this world does need a lot of Shakti, because it's just more focused and more it's ma. And so it dawned on me, like, I never saw it before like that, what all this energy is going to do. I mean, it can only do good. But I thought it was interesting to see as Shakti energy. Because I think that's all it is for each and one of us, is how much Shakti we are being given. And how do we use that Shakti?
You know, if you look at the names of your releases, there's obviously a real devotional thread to your album names and to the... So where is this devotion coming from? Where is this bhakti coming from for you? Is this something that was with you your whole life, or is this something that you discovered later on in your life?
Well, I mean, I don't come from necessarily from that culture, but searching and going back to the source, which to me is the Vedas. So... Vedic-wise, you know, supposedly in this age where everything falls apart,
Kali Yuga.
Yes, Bhakti Yoga is supposedly the most accessible yoga. We live We don't live the lives where we can sit for years meditating. So bhakti is what I learned, you know, no matter what one does, you know, the base is always going to be bhakti.
And it is very accessible, like the chanting of mantras and connecting through sounds for mantra is something that anybody can do.
Yes, but the hardest thing is to surrender. That's always going to be the major one, is to surrender. And it's difficult for all of us to surrender, because you know, the ego is always, I am doing. But when it comes to music, we try to see it as we're only a conduit. We're not, you know, nothing we do is really us. It's already been done before, but we add our own stamp, own interpretation to something that's already existed. So in that way, we are a conduit and not like, I am doing.
So are we trying to be a service? Is that our...
Well, yeah, because being a musician, I mean, you know, in India, you've seen it. If you can make someone happy with music, they basically touch your feet. Because you made them happy with song and dance, you know? So, you know, in that way, being a musician is a gift that is being given to you. So that's why you have to share it.
So we have many gurus in our life. We have many teachers that
show along the path. Yeah,
and they kind of help us bring that to become a conduit, as you're saying.
It's seva, you know. Service. So of course it's a very fortunate to be able to do seva through music. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, it's a little different than other kinds of seva, but music is what brings people together, you know.
I see like a healing energy coming from like what we're talking about, like you're saying.
Definitely. You know, music has always been the... and again, you know, it's the highest yoga, so...
Yeah. Thank you for...
I mean, look at Krishna playing his flute and his music, right?
That was Chevy Savile.
You know, I started this whole series of records, the Yoga Sessions.
Oh, that's coming up next. A little premature. Okay, that's better. So as I was saying, that was Chevy Savile with a track entitled Koi Bole Ram Ram from his release Devotion. So one of the explanations for the name Ram, because it would be a name of the divine, is the origin of all pleasure, or the supreme pleasure. And there's variations on that description. But here's something from the Sri Guru Granth Sahib, which is the holy book of the Sikh tradition. Translated, it says, some call him Ram Ram and some call him Kudai. Some serve him as Gusain and others as Allah. He is the cause of causes, generous Lord. He showers his grace and mercy upon us. Some bathe at sacred shrines of pilgrimage, and some make the pilgrimage to Mecca. Some perform devotional worship services, and some bow their heads in prayer. Some read the Vedas, and some the Quran. Some wear blue robes, and some wear white. Some call themselves Muslim, and some call themselves Hindu. Some yearn for paradise, and others long for heaven. Says Nanak, one who realizes the hukam, or order, of God's will, knows the secrets of his Lord and Master. I'm going to play a PSA for the Rio Theater, and then we'll be back with some words from Duke Mushroom of Earthrise Sound System.
Ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
The Rio Theater is your independent East Vancouver theater, playing first-run feature films, independent film screenings, as well as live events. Every Friday night, there are featured midnight cult classics on the big screen, and no one can beat the Rio for their cheap date Tuesdays. This May, movies are back at the Rio. Fridays at 11 p.m., there's no better place to be than at the Rio Theater for classics such as Battle Royale, Purple Rain, The Dark Crystal, and Jackie Brown. As always, ticket prices are reduced for midnight movies if you arrive in costume, so dress to impress. Special events this month at the Rio include May 16th, open mic night at the Rio with East Fans Got Talent, starting at 8 p.m. Alan Doyle performing live Wednesday, May 23rd, also at 8 p.m. May 30th, get your nerd on with the live Dungeons & Dragons comedy experience. Join Vancouver's best comedic performers the last Wednesday of every month as they quest for glory and snacks in this live, improvised spectacular. Did we mention that movies are back at the Rio? For more information on all this and more, check out theriotheater.ca.
So the next person we're going to hear from is Duke Mushroom of Earthrise Sound System. And later we're going to hear from Derek Burris, the other half of Earthrise Sound System. Also, Duke Mushroom has done lots of production for various people, including Shikal. She talks about it a little bit. And he's also one half of Gauri and Duke, which he collaborates with Rachel Golub on that project on the Yoga Organics label. So what we're going to do, we're going to hear a few words from Duke just about the Yoga Sessions recordings, and a nice story about cooperation. And then we're going to hear a track entitled Intention, which features a Morley from the Earthrise Sound System release on Yoga, the Yoga Sessions release. And then a little snippet more of interview material with Duke talking about Sri Kal and a production on his Kirtan Sessions release. And we're gonna, and then you're gonna hear from a remix of Sharon Gannon's Govinda Fly, which was done by Earthrise Sound System, which features Sri Kala, and also Nadi Devi and MC Yogi, who was also at Tadasana, but we didn't get a chance to catch to interview. But he'll be up here in a couple of months. Maybe we can have a chat with him then. So here's a few words from Duke Mushroom on the yoga sessions recordings.
You know, I started this whole series of records, the yoga sessions. And one of the reasons, one of the sort of backgrounds I had for doing it was my upbringing as a percussionist. You know, I'm playing for dance classes, for African and for Brazilian dance classes, Afro-Brazilian stuff. You know, there's this distinct relationship between movement, between dance and music. You know, so the drummer drums, the dancer dances, they're intertwined. There is no separation. And so what I wanted to try to do was really watch that flow, that pacing, the rhythm of a class. What's the pulse behind it? Tap into that and create some music that, you know, was very heart manifested, that just made you flow and get into that rhythmic flow immediately. So it's been a lot of fun. So now, you know, I had Derek write a sort of statement letter for everybody that we wanted to, not a statement letter, but an essay. And it was about the feminine divine. And that was the sort of, everybody we collaborated with, as, you know, because I would, you know, collaborate with these different artists. We were doing, write different songs with them. That was the sort of directive, like, as long as it has a reference to this, the feminine divine, and its play, and maybe we'll end up posting it up on EarthRiseSoundSystem.com, because it was a really interesting essay. I love Derek's writing. He's a really prolific writer as well. Silly as it sounds, somebody posted something on Facebook the other day, a buddy of mine, and posted something about in this African village, and it was a very remote village, and they hadn't really a lot of exposure to the Western world. And I guess it could be probably in India as well, or it could be in South America, but it just happened to be in Africa, where something came in, and there was a group of kids, a group of like 5 and 7 year old kids, and they're all playing together. And this guy left a bag of apples under a tree, and he said, "Over there, I left a bag of apples." And he's like, you know, and it was sort of this Western guy, he's like, "You guys race to it, and the first one there will get the bag of apples, and you can eat the food," or whatever it was, a bag of apples or a bag of food or something. You set up this whole competition for the kids. The first one there gets to get it. And they looked at him like he was crazy. So they all got up together, they all held hands, and they started skipping and singing songs together, and they ran over to the tree. And then they sat down, and they kept singing, and they split the food up evenly, and they all ate it. Wow. What a lesson. Because we're so fixated with this competition here, you know. We're so fixated. Even young kids, you know, in this country, it's like, "No, that's mine, this is mine, this is mine." It's like our concept is completely, it's been twisted from our true nature, and I think our true nature is just cooperation. I mean, that's how we get things done. That's how the tribal systems worked. That's how people build things in rural areas. La 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 Oh, Shrikala's the Shrikala Roach is the bomb. I didn't mean that. No. Well, I guess that's sort of a hip New York hip hop thing. He's just an amazing guy. His bhakti, his shakti, his karma, his everything is just bursting through the seams, and the guy is just really just creating amazing music. I've just helped him on this last record that he made, which is Shrikology Volume 1, the Kirtan Sessions Volume 1. You know, just helped him out with some mixes and some production ideas, and he was really super generous and gave me a co-producer credit on it. But he's just really one of the most prolific guys. I'm very interested in working on a full length album of him as an artist, and
that would be awesome.
Yeah, and so that's in the works, and you know, there's this whole new label, which is Black Swan Sounds, and we're really trying to build that up into to be something really new. You know, beats with devotion, I think, is the catchphrase. And, like, that's what it is. And Shrikala, my God, he is just a walking devotional being. And his beats are ferocious.
Let's go in the fly. Shadanam, Sharon Gannon. Mushroom, true color, MC Yogi, Naughty Davy. Hits on my insides, I'm feeling my fear and worries decline. I'm hearing your name sounding so divine. You're stealing my heart, now I'm beyond time. My spirit to the cloud, oh yeah, it rises. The blue combining with bloated eyes gives pleasure to the cows that you are riding. Playing in the groves of Vrindavan. I know no one but you as my lord. To be without you, I cannot afford. And your darshan, I'm fully restored. Dust from your feet heals me to the core. Windows to another world in your paintings, explaining a bit more. For you, my heart's a door open wide. So come on, Govinda, fly, fly.
Let me put it in motion. From New York City to Oakland, you're open. We jump in it like a body of ocean. Bhakti embody the notion, we're floating. I know you love it, take a sip of the potion. Number 9 is infinite, releasing emotion, yeah. Just let go, we induce and provoking. You to get loose, but we keeping the focus. Let me know if you're getting a message. Going out to the young and the restless, let's get it. Singing shut up, my, my. Surrender to the mother, we gon' fly high, high. We take you on a trip. On the body and mind, head to another space, divine head. Sharon Davy with the voice sublime, singing Govinda, Govinda, fly. Now let's ride.
Radha and Krishna standing on the banks of the Jamuna River, lover and beloved holding hands in a trance, lost in the glance, divine romance. As they dance, many candles in the river flow by, the full moon looms and hangs in the sky. Soon the monsoon will consume the moon, two hearts in full bloom, lost in the perfume of sweet jasmine. I can imagine 108 gopi girls all dancing to the tune of Krishna, Rasa Raga, the epic love saga of Govinda and Radha. I can hear the bangle dangle on the ankle, sweet like a mango, takes two to tango. As they embrace, flowers fall from the sky. Hare Krishna, Radhe Shyam, Govinda fly.
That was a remix by Earth Red Sound System of Charan Gannon's Govinda Fly featuring MC Yogi and Shikau and Nadi Devi and others. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Here's some words by the other half of Earth Red Sound System, Derek Butters.
Well, Tadasana came about because I was wearing a t-shirt in 2005 called I Om New York, which was a play on the I Love New York, but it was with an om that my friend Craig designed, and we were selling it. And I was wearing it one day, and Fabian Al-Sultani saw it. And Fabian is my DJ partner and one of my best friends. And the idea of a yoga and music festival came into his head. The same year, he met Tommy Rosen, who also had ideas of throwing festivals. But it didn't start until about a year and a half ago when Fabian moved out to Santa Monica and reconnected with Tommy, and they decided to work and throw a festival together. And so when I moved out here 6 months ago, I jumped on board as creative director to help to just organize, handle a lot of the online things like that. There is a lot of good energy, yes. There's a lot of positive energy and good intentions about it. Well, Tadasana came about because I was wearing a t-shirt. When I got to college at age 18, someone handed me the Bhagavad Gita and the Dhammapada, and that began my quest on that path. I had grown up with no religious training or understanding at all. I was an athlete. That's where my focus was sports my whole life. And so when I was introduced to these philosophies, I just really took to them. I didn't start the physical yoga practice for about 6 or 7 years after I started studying the texts. And then when I started to embody the practice, it made a lot more sense, because if you get too heady about it without the actual feeling of it, you know, it gets academic at that point. And while I enjoy the study and the texts, feeling what it does to you is just as important. So I think it's an important balance. It's not just an exercise routine, although it's great on that level, and it's not just, you know, a heady study, although it's great on that level, but if you can fully embody the practice, it's a beautiful system, and it's a system that made sense to me. Taking this, a celebration of the spirit, of the body, and of music, and of everybody getting together and communing, I mean, from everyone I've talked to here during the weekend, they've just had a really wonderful time, and it's been important, and I don't think there's any one way. It could have hit someone on so many different levels, whether it's a pose, whether it's a feeling they had in Shavasana or meditation, or whether it's a new musical act they discover. Whatever that feeling is, it's lifting them. And so if you create this space, it's just like when I teach my yoga classes, I don't ever tell people how to feel. I'm just giving them space to feel what they need to feel. The therapy is their own to explore, but if you can create the conditions for that, then some magic can happen for people. And so for me, the festival is creating the conditions for people to grow together.
So it's just some closing words from one of the organizers of someone involved in the organization of Tadasana Festival, which happened a couple of weekends ago in Santa Monica, Los Angeles. The whole of the show, today's show, has been a rather extended version, has been the last of the coverage of the festival. We did part one last week, this was part two. We're going to close with a live recording of from the first day of a kirtan as part of a class, a yoga class at Tadasana, which is being led by Wa and also accompanied by Masood Ali Khan and other musicians whom I forget that was there. The drummer, or one of the drummers for Jai Uttal, whose name I forget, was playing tabla. And there were other musicians there too. This is just like a little chunk from part of the class where, in between asana stages, where a little bit of a kirtan broke out with everybody there. was interesting what Derek was saying about creating the conditions for something magical to happen. I think that's that was my experience with this festival, was that you have such a broad range of people coming and taking part in it. And it was very well organized in the sense that it achieved that goal of creating a space, a sacred space for people to come and offer their gifts, whatever that may be, whatever they were, and for people to come and experience that and to take part in the whole exchange, the whole experience. I would say it was a success. I definitely, for me, there was I learned a lot of things in those few days, and so the festival season continues with Bhakti Fest coming up in California later this year, also Kirtan Vancouver here in Vancouver, and various other wonderful festivals. On a side note, we're hoping maybe with Entheos we can have a little bit of kirtan there. Some of us are going to be there. We're going to have a little camp where we'll be doing some kirtan, and that's another gathering which attracts a lot of special souls. One thing that I learned from the Tadasana Festival was just how much we all have in common as people. And definitely within the community of people that were there, an intention, an inclination for elevation of consciousness, both individually and collectively, and the desire to learn, the desire to work on that practice, and to really apply oneself to that end. A very inspiring experience. So I'd like to thank, just in my own humble way, just the organizers and the people that took part in that festival and made it such a wonderful and magical experience for everybody. Last track is going to be, as I said, Wah from, it's not a very good recording, it's just on a little handheld unit, but I think it kind of captures the energy of the festival in some ways, for me anyway. We'll be back next week, 4 till 5, here on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver for another installment of Mantra. Hope you enjoyed the show today. See you next week. Until then, take care of yourselves. Namaste. We'll be right back. I should mention that this Saturday at Unity Yoga and Tea House at 10th and Commercial Drive in Vancouver, you'll be able to hear more Kirtan.